Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. Today, we're talking about something that weighs heavily on a lot of parents' hearts, childhood independence. What does that mean today? What does that look like in the year 2025 when simply letting your 9, 10, 11-year-old ride their bike a mile outside of your house could land you in jail? That's where we are today. I actually had something happen not that long ago. Similar story. My daughter and I, we were just running some errands outside of Walgreens, and we noticed in the parking lot, there was a young boy left by himself in the car. He couldn't have been more than 4 years old, 3, 4 years old, and just tears, sobbing. He's kind of going in the front of the car, the back car, looking for his mom or dad, just a complete mess. And I was really upset. My heart sank because I thought, what do I do here? Okay. Because on one hand, I thought I can run into the store. I can kind of look for the mom or dad or whoever. But that also makes me nervous to do in the year 2025. Because God forbid I'm labeled a Karen or this person want to come after me thinking that I'm telling them how to parent. I've got my daughter with me, so I also want to stay safe in the process. All right, you know what? I'm going to call the police just to alert them what's going on, tell them where this is. And after we did that, we left. I didn't really want to stick around. And that situation is just a little glimpse of that tension that we feel as parents today. How do we protect our kids? We want to keep them safe. It can feel like a very big, bad, scary world, but we also want them to grow and be independent. Granted, in this case, the child was very young. It's hard. Even if you're not a parent, you've probably seen moments like this and you've got that uneasy feeling and that uncertainty over how to handle it. Because this will happen. Your child or your grandchild, they are going to beg you to walk to the park by themselves. They want to ride their bike to the store or get dropped off somewhere. They might be 9, 10, 11, say, I'm fine. I know where I'm going and how to do this. And it's not that we don't trust them. I mean, maybe we don't, but a lot of times we do. We think they have the maturity, but we don't trust what could happen in the entire process. We've got our 24/7 news cycle. So it makes it sound like the second we open our front door, child's going to be kidnapped. Bullies are just going to show up out of the bushes. Or it'll be that situation where another parent is going to see our child walking by themselves, call the cops, and then suddenly we're investigated and we're carted off to jail and our kids are in foster care. That's the fear. But balance does matter. I think a lot of times there's that pressure today to hover, not let our kids do things. We react instantly and we just micromanage every single moment. And that's what parenting has become today. Parents are getting in trouble for parenting. Thank goodness, though, there is some hope. Florida, Georgia, Missouri have just passed laws saying that your child can walk to school, they can wait outside, they can play on their own, and that is not neglect. Isn't that great news? I mean, it feels like we're stating the obvious, but these are called reasonable childhood independence laws. They're also known as free-range parenting laws, which kind of sounds like we're raising chickens. They matter. These are protecting parents from being accused of neglect or endangerment when kids are doing what I would consider the obvious things, age-appropriate, independent things like walking to the library, playing in the front yard. One would think all of our states have adopted laws like this. We're not there yet. So with Florida, Georgia, Missouri, that makes 11 states that are now bringing some sanity back to childhood. Utah, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Montana, and Virginia have already adopted these independence laws. And we can thank Lenore Scanese for that. She's the author of Free Range Kids, really helped pushing these efforts forward. We'll talk more about her in just a bit as we unpack really what these laws mean, why letting go also feels so hard, and what our faith is calling us to do when it comes to raising our kids who are not just safe, but strong. Thriving, flourishing, not just surviving. Somewhere along the way, I don't know when this all changed. I feel like most of the time that I've been a parent, it's been this way, but we've gone from cheering kids on, giving them that independence to really just helicopter parent, hanging over them, hovering over our kids, controlling the environment. I mean, we don't have to look that far. Go to any school. Look at the artwork outside a kindergarten classroom. Yeah, it's done by the parents and the teachers, not the kindergartners. It should be little squiggles and lines, but instead they're these like mini masterpieces. And that is why our children by middle school are still drawing stick figures. And yes, I'm one of the parents that stepped in a little too much to help with some of those projects. I get it. It all comes from love. We want to help. We want to keep them safe. We want them to do a good job. We want to just be involved in the process. But somewhere along that line, the message, the goal, it just gets tangled up, I think, with a lot of fear and control. And all of that turns into more rules, and rules turn into overreaching laws. To the point that letting our kids play in the park by themselves could get us a visit from Child Protective Services. So I would say that we have a very distorted view of safety and well-being, and we've turned that into law. I think it would serve us well if we try to find our way back. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. Brittany Patterson, you might remember this story. She's a Georgia mom. She was arrested a few months ago.
Brittany and Josh Patterson, the Georgia family, in the middle of a very serious legal battle after Brittany was arrested when her 10-year-old son walked alone to a nearby store. Take a look at the video of her arrest in front of her family. Take a look.
Okay, turn around for me.
Why?
Because you're under arrest.
For what?
For the incident we talked about earlier today.
What am I under arrest for?
For reckless endangerment.
And how was I recklessly endangering my child?
We're not talking about it.
So we're in call Molly and tell him they're taking me to jail because you decided to walk down the street.
Let go of your hands.
That's not his fault.
And the time I checked, it wasn't illegal for a kid to walk to the store.
Sure, walk into town. No danger, no accident. Brittany, the mom, she is at the doctor's with her other child, which also shows that she's being a good parent, by the way, by taking her child to the doctor. Police show up and she's arrested for reckless endangerment of her 10-year-old who has the maturity and the responsibility and the capability to walk into town by himself on his own. We have let this wild fear, government overreach, just entirely reshape parenting, and we're criminalizing normal, healthy childhood experiences. Meanwhile, I don't know who called the police on Brittany, the mom, but whoever did, they were probably driving down the road in their own car, see the boy walking by himself, freak out. They're probably scrolling and frantically trying to call 911, not looking at the road while they do this, mind you, with their own kids in the back of the car, all of that probably being 10 times more dangerous than the 10-year-old walking into town by himself. But we really can't come down on that person who called, because I get it. We've created this kind of reaction. Our culture has. Their heart was probably in the right place, wanted to keep the boy safe. They felt like they were doing a good thing. But this is what we get when fear replaces wisdom and judgment replaces discernment. We're trying to get better at this. There's another book out. You might want to check this out. It's called The Anxious Generation. John Haidt is the author, and this was on the Today Show. There is a mom trying to do these things, just give her child a little bit more independence. She's at a fast food restaurant. I think she's at Chick-fil-A. Sends her son in by himself to do the order.
Wells's idea is to go to Chick-fil-A and order some dinner. I gave him some money, and just we rehearsed like what to say. And like, if anyone gives him a hard time, to ask for the manager. The worst part is I can't walk. No. No phone. No way to communicate with me. I can't see if he's in trouble. Oh my gosh, he did it.
And Ash has to ask the manager or anything.
Really?
He just gave it to me, yeah.
They just served you?
Yeah. And then I want to do that again.
Really?
Yeah, that is so fun.
Giving our children age-appropriate independence is not neglect. And I understand exactly how this mom is feeling, because we're going, is anybody going to say something or do something? We're concerned about that. Is he safe? Like, all those things are running through our mind. So these independence laws are good. They're giving parents the space to parent and the kids space to grow. They're trusting that parents know their kids best. Thank the good Lord for that. Because the parents know their 1 9-year-old might actually be ready for something their 12-year-old is not. And it's not the government's call. That's our call. CPS can't just assume that a child is in danger because they were alone for a bit. They have to show that there is actual risk. And that's how we grow into capable, functioning adults, hopefully. I still understand the hesitation and the fear. I have it too, much more than I would like, but I have to remember to stay grounded. Stranger abductions, you know, they are incredibly rare. The real predators, more often they are hiding on our children's devices, not in our neighborhood, not on the walking path. The biggest risk to our kids, car accidents, is the second leading cause of death. And some of the wildest drivers on the road are the same hovering helicopter soccer moms who worry about their kids' safety and don't let their kids go anywhere. Now, let's compare all of this to Japan. We're going to take a little trip because kids as young as 4 regularly run errands on their own, just preparing them for independence. Here's a clip of that in action.
In this popular new Netflix show, you can see toddlers running errands all by themselves, not a parent in sight. It's called Old Enough, but many are saying it should be called Not Old Enough. The show is hugely popular in Japan, and now Americans can see it on the streaming service. This 2-year-old goes on a 23-minute walk to buy food and flowers. He sticks out a yellow flag to alert motorists he wants to cross a busy highway.
Here in the U.S., we definitely do not give our children that kind of independence.
Lenore Scanese, who I mentioned earlier, made headlines back in 2008 for letting her then 9-year-old ride the New York City subway alone. She wasn't being neglectful. It was not because she was out all night and didn't know where her son was, but because she was intentionally training him and equipping him for life. And that really propelled our whole free-range kids movement to help pass some of these new laws. I don't think we talk enough about what kids lose when we constantly hover. We just accept it as, well, these are the times we live in. It is what it is. But what it is not good. They miss out on so much resilience, confidence, on learning how to make decisions for themselves. There was a study published by the Journal of Pediatrics that found a clear connection between limited childhood independence and the rising mental health challenges. So instead of addressing that with more independence, we're addressing it with pharmaceuticals, medication, when what they really need is to get out and play, explore, and learn how to problem solve on their own, unsupervised. So yes, scraped knees, awkward conversations, ordering food alone at a fast food restaurant, these are all growth moments for our children. And avoiding them is not going to make our kids safer. It's just going to make them more fragile. I always try to look at this through the lens of scripture. What an awesome role we have been given to parent the children that he's given us. We are uniquely chosen for our children. I don't think scripture tells us to shield our kids from every hard thing. I think it says the opposite. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't say control. It doesn't say bubble wrap them. It says train. Training takes time. It takes effort. It means letting our kids face things, learn from them, build strength mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Then there's Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. There are seasons of adversity, and sometimes it's better to face them when we're young. If God allows discipline or difficulty early on, a lot of that is preparation and that training for a good and fruitful, purposeful future. The yoke, it's not just a burden. It's about learning how to carry the weight well. And so I think that's the same for our kids. If we never let them carry anything, if we never let them struggle or figure something out, we are robbing them of the chance to grow stronger. If God wants us to just stay safe and small, then the Bible would just say, well, just stay within the church and never leave. Stay in that little fortress. But it doesn't say that. Be salt, be light, go out into the world. Bring the church out to the world. Don't keep it inside. And as parents, that means that we slowly let go of the reins, trusting the training that we've done, that God has helped us with, and believing that God's got them, even when we're not there. I think that's how we live out the gospel. And thank goodness we have some laws that support that. Obviously, there's balance. It's about finding the sweet spot, you know, what fits our child and our family. You know their heart. You know when they're ready. And as scary as it can feel sometimes, I have to remind myself that I am not their savior. And I thank God for that, because he is by far a much better protector watching over my kids than I will ever be. So I truly hope that these free-range parenting laws, independence laws, continue to spread. We've got Florida, Georgia, Missouri now on the list. Who will be next? Honestly, it's really sad that we even need laws to remind us that we're allowed to parent. But that's where we are. And so we take some of those steps back toward freedom. And I think there's an important lesson here, not just for our kids, whether we're a parent, a teacher, a mentor, or just someone growing in our faith. We're not just building a fortress to shield us from the world and stay safe in our little bubbles. We're building disciples who are strong enough to walk in a broken world with truth, courage, and faith. Well, thanks for joining me and listening. I'd love to hear from you. What are your fears, your stories? We have all got them. Have you ever been stopped for parenting? Or maybe you've been the one to make the call, like I did on the woman who left her son in the car. Let's talk about it over on my Facebook group, Insight Out Community. You can find it through my Facebook page, insightout.media. And until next time, let's choose wisely and live our lives Insight Out.